Welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect the views of Strong Tower Radio, West Central Michigan Media Ministries, or its employees.
This is Creation Animal Care with Dr. Edie Hanna and Tom Mazur. Dr. Edie, this is the third of three experiences at the Legacy combination with also the Reptarium. That was the first session. Second one, we did mammals here at Legacy, and now we're doing aquatics.
Yes, I've been here long enough to know that this is heaven for me, and I've had smiles on my face the whole time, and so I can only imagine what real heaven is going to be like.
Absolutely, and in the last segment, we went inside of I think all four of the exhibits, and we were actually on the animal side of the thing, and people were watching us.
Yes, they were.
I don't know if they were looking at the animals or looking
usually
at us.
Usually I worry about what, you know, people watching me, but I tell you what, I was in front of animals, and I was focused on them more than I was focused on the people, so that's what I like to be doing.
Yeah, we had about 10 people watching during one of them, but why don't you lead us in a word of prayer, and then we'll do aquatics.
All right, excellent. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for the opportunity to learn more about your creation. I thank you for giving us this experience, Lord, for giving us this time together, not to just about the animals, but to learn more about each other, especially Jay and his history and all that he has to offer, Lord. You truly, truly send people in this world to bless others, and I can't thank you enough. I ask that you please guide us and watch over us as we continue on and with this experience. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, Jay, just for our new listeners, tell us about the Legacy experience. What is different about when you come into this environment versus just any other zoo that happens to have reptiles or aquariums? What do you add to that formula?
So one of the main things that really sets us apart is just how interactive our place is. From the time that you walk into the door to the time that you leave, there's something that you can hold or feed or touch or take photos with. You know, that is the thing that really sets us apart. You can go to the zoo and walk around, but probably the chance of you getting to hold a big snake or feed a fish is probably like slim to none. So that is the difference for us here.
And we were walking down the aisles, and a gentleman was holding a particular reptile or a particular snake. And,
yes.
And you just turn around, and there's a snake right
yep,
there.
It's just what happens around here.
That's like, right. But I don't think we handle the fish.
No, but we are going to get to feed some fish today. There are going to be some fish that you guys get to pet. There's going to be some fish that get to pet you, I guess, per se. You guys are going to get to see a lot.
Oh, I can't wait. Yeah. And it's just amazing. The first visit we had at the Reptarium, we were there just with the staff, and this time we were just been hundreds of people, just hundreds of people around us. And
very, very busy right now with it being the holiday time and kids out of school. This is typically about how it looks for our whole summer.
Well, let's go immerse ourselves. We're in the party room, and that's one of the functions that you can do here. You can come and do the exhibit, have the experience with the animals, but you can also have your own gathering with people that you care about, friends and family.
Yep, you can have birthday parties. We have a ton of different birthday party options. You can have a party here at the aquarium. You can have a private party across the street at the annex where you get to like rent the whole building to yourself. Or we can bring the animals right to your house. No fish, though.
We don't bring fish.
We don't travel with the fish. We haven't figured that one out yet.
What we also need to share, this is in Southeast Michigan in Utica. It's on Van Dyke, just north of M-59, about half a mile, three quarters mile north of it. And you're on both sides of the street. One exhibit, the original one with the reptiles, is on the west side, and on the east side is this larger building, which
is about 30,000 feet.
So let's immerse ourselves.
All right, let's get started.
Well, let's immerse ourselves just in the experience, because I did not bring my scuba suit.
Oh, okay.
I know. So
should we reschedule this?
Nope, let's continue this way, okay? All right, oh my goodness, there's lots of fish here.
So
now,
many fish.
I don't know my fish, Jay, so I'm gonna let you.
These look
take
more
the
like
reins.
Koi to me.
That's all right, so let's start here. You know these fish, right?
All right. I'll give you.
Of course, these are the koi fish. These guys are absolutely awesome. The kids love this experience because this is one of the tanks where we give the kids food, we let them feed them. Of course, since they're koi, they're not super shy. You stick their hand, your hands in there, they come up to you. But inside of this tank here,
okay,
we actually have, oh, you can see one right over there.
Way at the bottom feeder.
Way at the bottom. Do you know what kind of fish? Tom, are you a fish guy?
I'm not, but when I was
here's another
kid,
one.
The bottom feeder is, the name just escapes a bit.
We have them here. You can find them in the Detroit River.
Oh, a carp?
Nope, not a carp. Sturgeon.
Sturgeon.
Tom, you were talking about that earlier.
That's right. Yep. I went out there and we actually caught some sturgeon with the Indian tribes and with the Michigan Department of Natural Resources.
Yeah, so those are two baby sturgeon. We actually have three of them in total. We have these two white ones. You can see them at the bottom. Then we have this one black one. You can see them there. That one's called a white diamond. These guys are babies right
beautiful.
Now, but once they get big and they hit that like 4 feet.
Did you say they were babies?
Yeah, those are baby sturgeon, yes.
Oh, okay, I thought you meant okay.
They're
okay.
Up to the 24 inches,
right there?
18
oh, yes,
to
do.
24
yeah, yeah.
inches long. There's the koi, which are some kids, we used to call them goldfish.
Yeah, but they big goldfish, right? This one's my favorite. Everyone always thinks this is a carp right here, the large black one. But again, that's still just a koi as
oh,
well.
That's a koi as well? Okay.
And
well, do they signify just because of the little things that are hanging from their mouth?
The koi? I mean, that's the one easiest distinctive way to know a koi. Now, you do have different koi. So some of them are called butterfly koi. Like if we look, let's see if we can find one. Oh, this one here. See how, he just went down. This one right here, see how he's got that beautiful color marking, the beautiful tail.
They got the beautiful orange, bright orange.
That's again, one of the more fancy ones. Some koi can go for easily up to $50,000,
$60,000,
$70,000.
Wow.
For one fish, not these, but some of them.
So they're kind of calico color, they have orange, they have yellow, they have black, they have white.
Well, Tom, you're not wrong. I mean, they do look like the color of calico cats.
This is true. This is true.
I mean, I'm impressed, Tom. You are learning something from me.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
And that's what I absolutely love about fish. They just, all of them, so different.
And there's about 16 or 20 of them right there. And they're, what interactive. They just want to touch and be by you.
What do they eat?
So these guys in the wild, they actually, since they're a species of goldfish, will eat almost whatever you put in there. They will try to eat whatever fits in their mouth. These guys will luckily just feed them the small koi pellets. Every now and again, we will give them like a treat, like a berry or something like that.
Okay, and then do you supply like any supplements or any, do you have to supply any certain supplements nutritionally?
For the koi, we do not. We just do their regular monthly supplements that all the fish here get that are in captivity, but for the koi, nothing too fancy. They pretty much are like your stray cat of the world.
Okay.
You put the food on your porch, they eat it, they're happy.
Okay, yep. All right.
And one thing I do need to mention is that we're looking at the three different environments. We're looking at freshwater, we're looking at salt water on the spectrum, and in between is the brackish, who can kind of live semi-salty, semi-fresh.
And right now we're in the freshwater section.
This is freshwater.
Yep,
okay.
So right now we're actually coming up on one of my favorite tanks. You guys might hear me say that a lot because I kind of like them all. But these fish here are called the discus. Absolute beautiful
because
fish.
Because they look like a disc.
They do. It looks like a disc golf disc, if you ask me.
Yeah.
About the same size.
Except they're vertical.
Vertical, yeah. These guys are beautiful color, red, white, some of them are blue. We got some purple ones in there. These guys right now are actually protecting, they just laid some eggs.
Oh, yeah, so on this piece of fake wood or whatever, there's white, fuzzy, is the round ones the eggs?
The round ones are the eggs, and actually if you see this blue fish here, this is the dad. See what he's doing right now? He's got a baby, so one baby hatched.
Oh my goodness.
He didn't eat it. It's okay. He'll come back out. That's how they protect them, actually, from the other fish.
Kind of like the seahorse.
Yes. They put them in their mouth, and then it'll come back out. Dr. E's like, Jay, I don't believe you. I'm going to sit here and watch it.
Well, no, I'm fascinated that one just hatched.
Yeah. And now, like I said, now he's holding it in his mouth. We are kind of a little bit of a threat to him right now. So right now he's like, I don't know what these people are doing. No, he'll let him go.
And this is this called iridescent or is this trans, what is this?
That's more iridescent, yes. Iridescent.
And these are about 4 to 5 inches in diameter.
Yes.
And they're very vertical, thin. They're only very about thin. A half inch wide, if that.
Yep.
They're thinner than pancakes.
You know, we've got a fish that's actually thinner than pancakes. We'll see that one in a little bit.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Yep. Sorry.
I was just going to say these exhibits, these tanks, they're kind of S-shaped. They aren't just a straight. They have a curve to them. And
yes, and all of our tanks here, you know, we took a lot of pride in designing something cool, basically to do our best to immerse you in the experience.
So these aren't off-the-shelf tanks?
No, almost everything here is custom built.
Really?
Okay, so how many gallons is this one?
You know, Dr. Edie, I just knew you were going to ask me that question. So I was right now on my way to pull up the list of all of the tanks, because I knew you were going to ask me that. If I had to guess, I'd probably say about 300, but I'm going to make sure I give you an exact answer here.
So would you say that your fish pretty much are really happy?
Oh, the happiest of all fish. That's really the good thing about fish, is if a fish is not happy, you will know it. You will know it.
How?
They'll be very dull in color. They won't swim around. They'll be hanging out at the bottom. They won't want to eat. They won't want to do anything. As you can see, this tank here is very, very happy. They're reproducing. They're protecting. Happy tank.
Now, you don't know which one is mom, do you?
This one is the mom.
And which is the orange one.
Dad.
Yes. The orange, the mom is larger than the dad.
Yes, which is typical. They have to hold the eggs and the babies and things like that. So.
Wow, that's so fascinating.
And we
600, excuse me, this tank here is 600 gallons. 628 to be exact.
And we have about 14 of these pancake, vertical pancake. Most of them are orange. Some of them are white and with stripes on it, and we have a couple of blue ones. We have about 4 or 5 blue ones.
Yes, and I think we should head right over here next.
Okay, the next tank.
These guys are really awesome. These are called the African cichlids.
Cichlids.
So you can tell every single fish in here is completely different. You won't find two that are the same. You'll find two alike, but not two that are the same. And in here, this is a tank full of only males. We did that for a multitude of reasons. One, the males are the prettiest, and the females are very dull in color. Two, cichlids reproduce like crazy, where this tank would have been overran, so that's why we went with the males.
Okay, so these are literally all males.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Because they're prettier.
Yes.
Okay.
The females look more like...
I know, because like that one is dull.
Yeah, but the females look worse than that.
Wow.
So they're about 3 to 4 inches long, most of them. The other ones were more pancake. These are more streamlined, like a 3-to-1 to 3 ratio. They're about an inch to inch and a half high.
Yes, and all different, you see we've got bright orange. We have this one here, which is one of my favorites, with the blue head, orange body. We've got the pink and orange one with the black spotting. I mean, we got yellow, we got all sorts of stuff. This is the mohawk guy here, the gray body mohawk
guy. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So you know what, these are very cute fish.
Yes, very cute. Cichlids.
Cichlids.
Yep.
And some of them have vertical stripes.
Yes.
Okay, so here's my fascination right now. This one literally looks like it has no eyeballs.
So a lot of times you'll just get that. Fish eyes are quite a bit different, you know. So again, that guy, as you can tell, he just puffed up. He can see us. He just looks like he can.
I know, but Jay, like literally, he's
literally like, looks like he has no eyes.
He doesn't have pupils.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Albino.
Right.
All right, now we're going to head right over here.
This is even a bigger tank.
An even bigger tank. I'll tell you how many gallons this one is. This here, these are called parrotfish, freshwater parrotfish.
Parrotfish.
Okay. Absolutely beautiful. I just love these guys. The oranges, the yellows. Is just absolutely amazing. This is about 750 gallons here. And again, the blood parrotfish are just absolutely beautiful. We do have one other fish in here called a ghost knife fish.
Okay.
I just want to let you guys take a look and see if you can find
them.
We're looking for a ghost knife fish.
Well, I see this up here.
Oh, you found him quickly.
I did.
Wow, look at you.
He's on the back of the, vertically, there's a little step in the tank there, and he's gray, and he just blended into the the black background.
Yes, you see right on his tail, he's got the white banding there.
Yes.
Kind of looks similar to an eel, but really, really awesome species of fish here.
So you have about 24 of these. They look like goldfish. They look like angel fish that are gold.
Yes.
They're about 3 inches high.
Yep. And these guys, again, one of my favorite. The kids absolutely love these fish.
They are
just majestic, the way they swim, the way they move. I like the cichlids and stuff, but that tank, when I look at it, is a little bit more panicked to me, where these fish are just kind of like, hey guys, I'm here. They love to be together, so you'll see they're all on one side right now. Typically in the wild, it's a community fish, so you will see them in large communities like this.
Really, their faces are adorable. I mean, look at their little puffy little faces.
Cute little lips.
I mean, this is the look that people do in selfies, right?
Yes,
the
exactly.
little things.
Yes,
so, I mean, come on.
It's the selfie fish.
I know. Now, what's the substrate that you guys use for?
So in all of our tanks here, we actually use a very, very specific sand. It came from Saudi Arabia, actually.
Oh, wow.
And it's a dust-free sand.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool.
Yep. That way we put it right in the tanks. We didn't have to wait
to fill
for
it.
Yeah, we literally put it in and filled it up and then put the fish in, you know? We didn't have to wait for the sand or the dust to settle and things like that. Very safe for the fish.
Now, you have some other fish that are much smaller.
Yeah, so I cannot recall the name of these guys. We put them in here basically just to add a little bit of dimension to the tank. And also sometimes the blood parrots can be a little bit on the shy side, where these guys will help bring them out. As we go along today, you'll see that a lot. In a lot of our tanks, you know, we'll have the main attraction and then some other smaller fish, basically just to help bring the other fish out of their shell.
How do you know which fish can go with which fish? Like, can that koi go with?
No.
Yeah, okay.
So there's fish that are basically different levels, right? You have like a community fish that can live with almost any other fish. If you think about something like a guppy, right?
Yeah.
It will live with anything, right? As long as something's not going to eat it bigger. Then you have like a semi-aggressive fish, right? That's something more like angel fish, right? Where they are pretty aggressive, but they're small enough where you can sometimes put them with other things that can hold their own ground. A few of them, right? And then you have really aggressive fish, discus. That's why in the discus, the only other fish that we have in here are clown loaches, which are also very aggressive. So if you put two aggressive fish together, one or two things are gonna happen. They're gonna leave each other alone and establish their dominance, or they're gonna fight. So you sometimes have to learn those two aggressive fish that can live together. The discus and the clown loaches have it figured out. We're like the cichlids, if we put anything else in there, they would just bully it to death.
So are we still in freshwater?
We are still in freshwater, Tom. We just getting started, actually.
All right.
So what makes up the freshwater? Like, you just, you know, do you just get it from somewhere in particular? Do you have to put certain minerals,
No, freshwater is literally just straight, no salt. It's really the best way to, if you ask me, to describe it, you know? No salt, if you think about things like your lakes and river beds and things like that, especially with moving into this tank that we're here, that we are right here. This is one of my favorite sets of tanks. We call these the Z tanks or the zigzag tanks. And we basically wanted to make it look like we took a bottom of a river or a lake and we elevated it, right?
Okay.
And that's really what we have here. So you see we have the low lighting, couple different species of fish in here. We have algae eaters. You see we've got snails, we've got tetras. This year is one of my favorite fish. This is called, do you know what that is?
No.
Oh, you got excited. So these are called kissing gouramis.
Okay.
So again, just all different sorts of fish. If you guys look in the dark here, we've got the angel fish. Again, they don't like to be seen. So these guys are hiding in what they feel like is their element.
So this is normal darkness? Like you're supposed to keep it this dark?
So for these fish, yes, we want to give them the gradient. So that way, because this is all one tank still. So it's up to them. They can come over here.
Yeah, go ahead.
They can come over here to the light if they choose. But right now, with us being here, they kind of feel more threatened. So they're like, let's go to where we can't be seen.
And let me describe the sea tank.
Yes, go ahead.
It looks like it's about 12 inches wide. And then it's about 2 feet high. And then it goes linearly. It's about 3 feet, and then it makes a 90-degree right angle turn.
How we get that Z,
And so it makes, you've got one 90, you've got a second 90, so it's got three parts to the Z.
Yes, three different. So we actually do have three different, there's three parts to the Z, but to make up the whole Z tank, we actually have three different tanks.
Okay.
We put them together to make it look like one, but I'm telling you guys a secret a little bit.
Okay.
You know, again, different tanks. As you can see, this here is separated by one tank. And then you get to this tank and we have different sets of fish in here. We have a different type of angel fish. These guys here are called yo-yo loaches.
And it looks like a zebra fish.
It does look like a zebra fish. And we've got your normal little guppy in there, of course. More snails and things like that. Over here, we get a little bit more fancy. We have the white angel fish. We've got, again, another species of algae eater there. Absolutely beautiful.
Are these called the bridal fish? Because, you know, they dress like little
They dress like brides, right?
They're a wall white.
Yep.
A little bit of sequence on them. A little sparkle.
Yeah, they are sparkly. Very beautiful.
Again, really, really awesome fish.
2 to 2.5 inches high. They look like the angel fish.
And again, you kind of just always have to look because you never know what else you're going to find. So you see right over there, got some more, another species of tetra. This guy right here is one of my favorites. It's a one of the
sword
bright
fish.
Red guppies. Yeah, it looks like a swordfish. Yeah, sword guppy. So really, really cool.
Well, awesome.
All right, now we're going to move to my next favorite tank.
All right,
so right in here we have what is called the fresh water predator tank, and I will tell you, this is one of my favorite tanks, one of the first tanks I will say that we ever built, and for me it was the first tank that I ever actually got to swim in with there being fish in it.
Oh my goodness.
Full disclosure, I can't swim, so there's a lot of these things that I won't go in anyway.
So you scared the fish as you were thrashing about, right?
I tried my best to stay calm, but again, this is a predator tank. These are fish that you really don't want to mess with.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to get some food here. I'm going to show you guys a little bit just why these fish get their name.
Right.
In this tank, we have a handful of different fish. We have these, you know what this is, right, Tom? You got this.
It looks like an albino sturgeon.
Tom,
I'm sorry.
Come on, albino catfish.
Catfish.
Right here we got the shovel tiger nose. In here we got the prune shark. We have some alligator gar in the back.
And these are large fish. These
very large fish.
2.5 or 3. He's putting some food. Oh, I heard that.
You heard that, right? Again, predator fish. So just imagine, you know, swimming in a riverbed with
these
guys. Just
put a little piece and all of a sudden you drop it.
Just absolutely.
Grabbed it right off your large tongue.
You'll see, I'll try to get in here and feed this catfish. Well, let's feed the gar. Oh, this guy's gonna
feed it. Oh, he snapped at it.
Doesn't want to eat it. Oh, there you go, buddy. You gotta let it go.
It's like an alligator. Oh,
yeah.
One tried to.
Exactly.
Well, the gar.
It's really, really awesome. And again, all these are experiences that people get to do when they come here. We let the kids feed the fish and all sorts of things. So we do have one really cool guy in here. Let's see if I can find him, or maybe you guys can find him before me. We've got one Fly River turtle. Pretty big turtle. He's probably about 12 inches in diameter.
I'm looking.
His name's Mike. He likes to sit at the bottom. He typically hangs out with our large gourami.
Oh, Tom's on a mission. He's going to find this because I found that
other... Well, he's in the right area. He's normally over... Oh, you see him, Tom?
Oh, I missed him.
Yep.
He's hiding.
Oh, yes.
Oh, he's coming out, though. He's thinking about it.
Aw.
Really, really cool, right?
Aw, there he is.
He's about 8 inches in diameter. Or...
He's got a very long little
nose.
Head.
And it, again, Fly River Turtle. Those guys come from Papua New Guinea.
But it's fresh water,
yes. But again, keeping in mind that is, although he is cute and he looks like he's a soft shell, he looks like a sweet little turtle, that is a very, very aggressive turtle. And that's why he's able to live with these very, very aggressive species of fish.
Oh, wow.
Mutual respect, huh?
Yeah, he's able to hold his own. The only thing that ever makes us a little nervous in here for him is the catfish. As everyone knows, a catfish will put anything in its mouth that it can fit. Luckily, Mike is round enough in diameter that the catfish tried it, but luckily, Mike was just big enough.
Oh my goodness. So you cannot have another type of him in here?
No, we actually have another one and they stay separate.
Okay.
We thought with this being as huge of a tank as it was, we'd be able to put them both in there.
Right.
And unfortunately, we just still could not.
You may have identified it, but there's the most unusual looking fish here.
Which one? Which one, Tom?
The one that's kind of really chubby.
Okay, so we're talking about the chubby, fat one. That's called an iridescent shark, Tom.
Oh, well.
Wow. This right here?
No, this one.
That one in the back, iridescent shark.
Oh, okay.
This here is called an arowana, one of the largest species of freshwater fish apart from the Aeropyma. So
I'm glad I'm not having you spell all of these fish names.
I'm glad you're not having me spell all these fish names. And that girl back there in the corner, her name, we call her Bubbles. She absolutely loves those bubbles.
It's oh my goodness.
Species of gourami. She loves to hang out back there. Again, super cute.
Oh, that's adorable. Yeah, I was wondering what she was doing.
She's pretty chunky herself.
She is pretty. Everybody in here is pretty chunky. They all love to eat.
They're well fed.
Well, this is like a small pool that maybe somebody would have in their backyard.
Yes, this is a 8,500 gallon.
And it's about 5 feet deep, at least it looks here. And it's about 10 to 12 feet wide and about 32 feet wide. What a beautiful specimen.
Absolutely beautiful. And we've got the waterfall that we absolutely love. It just brings everything together, the tree coming out. You know, this is definitely one of my favorite places to just sit down and stare at the fish.
Yeah, that would be awesome. What is the name that has been hit, looks like has hit her head on the wall so many times?
That one there, we named him Deadpool. That's actually a flower horn and gourami mix. They call it a red devil.
Okay,
yep,
all right.
They call it a red devil fish.
All right, looks like it's hit its head on the glass a little
just
bit
a couple,
too many times.
A couple too many times, right?
It's a major goose egg.
Yes.
It's about almost a 2-inch bump high and almost as wide. But and it's above its eyes.
I truly wish, I hope people can understand what it takes to take care of these guys. And those listeners, if you can make out their exact names, if you go online and look up what these fish look like, you're going to see how beautiful their colorings are, how their size is, roughly, and just that they're just spectacular to look at.
And keep in mind, we do have a really active YouTube channel as well, where you guys could actually go in and see when we got these fish, when we built this tank. You know, you can see the first time the fish were ever even released.
Oh,
in
wow.
here, which just gives you a different perspective of this place and
awesome.
To really see how far it came just from the ground up. So,
and this is the freshwater fish, but we have two more sections.
We've got one more section that we're gonna look at in the freshwater before we move to that brackish one.
Okay, very good.
So where we're going to next is one of my favorite rooms in the whole aquarium. We call this the glow room.
I was wondering because these beautiful things on the wall.
Yes, so actually Melissa, you guys met my fiance.
Yes.
Her and her brother, they actually painted this room.
No way.
They did all of the art in here. And I'll show you guys over here real quick. A couple of Easter eggs. So we're in a really dark room right now, surrounded by like neon glowfish painted on the wall.
I see and a word.
Yeah, so what Melissa and her brother did was is they painted the founder's grandkids' names in a lot of the fish. So we've got like Jet right there and Cam right there. It just really awesome, you know, it brings this room really, really together. So really special place. And of course we are surrounded by the most beautiful tanks, probably about 10 feet high in the air, filled with the neon.
And they're not quite 3 feet in diameter, and it's vertical. It's basically from your waist, about 3 feet high, going up several feet, and it's a cylinder with air tubes going down the center, and you have kind of a pinkish orange, purple fins, and then you have very lime green, all of the same species.
Yeah, I'm just letting him, you know, talk about what.
Yes.
Because I don't know anything about the sizes and the whatever.
Yes, same
but
either.
All I know is that they're pretty, Jay.
Absolutely
pretty.
Beautiful, right?
And what species are these ones?
So these are just a species of tetra fish. Of course, they don't come from the wild like this. So every now and again, we do a little bit of altering, right, for our own satisfaction.
Oh, genetic modifying?
Just a little genetic modifying, but again, still absolutely beautiful, doesn't harm the fish at all. And again, we have so many of them in here because in the wild it's a schooling fish, so you'll find them in very small pockets of water, but very, very populated. So again, still doing our best to emulate what it would be like for them in the wild.
This is a column, a school of a column of fish. It looks like there's about 100 of them. They're about an inch and a half to 2 inches in length, and it's just plain pretty to watch them. It's mesmerizing.
It's so cool.
Beautiful.
My question is, so I noticed that none of them have any kind of things on the bottom of the sand like you do for everybody else. There's no sticks, there's no branches,
there's no shells,
there's so, nothing.
So these guys, where they live at, in the bodies of water, is typically in the middle. So they would never really find themselves all the way at the bottom and around things like sticks and branches and
stuff
like that.
So they don't need to hide or be protected?
No desire to want to hide or anything like
that.
They're exposed.
We
could put it in there like for our own gratification, but for them, they absolutely don't need it.
Oh, wow.
And again, you see them out in the open, and you'll even see the difference, right? Like, for the other fish, you see how I have my hands here and stuff like that, and they're not scattering, they're not spastic. They just are a really brave fish. Where other fish, you guys will see, if we walk up to the tank too fast,
they'll
just run away. Again, which shows us those are the fish that really need the sticks and the pieces of seaweed, because they need that to feel comforted. Where these guys are happy as could be out in the open. It's a pretty personal fish as well. Like, they wanna be seen.
Do you know how many are in here?
No.
No.
A lot.
Jay,
a lot.
I expect counting.
Yeah. 172.
Okay.
Yeah,
we'll go with
yeah
that.
You'll take that
all
one, right?
We'll go with that.
So this all is right. The third column. This one's more orange with the same with
this
the.
This is like the orange highlighter.
Yeah, this one is pretty orange. We got a couple of. Now it's probably my fault. I dropped a couple pink ones in there at some point on accident. But again, yes, the orange ones. I will say the yellow ones are my favorite, but the orange ones are pretty cool too.
They're beautiful.
So yes, the glow room, one of my favorites. And as we walk out of the glow room, now we are entering this more brackish area of watering. So we'll start over here on this side. We're actually gonna go approach one of my favorite species of fish here. So these guys are something called archer fish. Now, if we stay real calm and sneaky-like, it should work.
Archer fish.
Yes, okay. Have you ever heard of them?
Yeah,
it does sound familiar.
You have?
Yes.
Do you know what they do, Tom?
They spit.
What? Tom, he's
oh,
right.
My word.
So these guys, let's see if we can get it to do it. I'm going to take the tongs and
they're looking
this
at it.
They're thinking about it.
Oh.
Pretty awesome,
okay,
right?
I
yeah.
mean, literally, the one of them spit and it was about a foot off the... Off, it's like a cricket.
Yes,
and he spit, and Jay got and I got wet. And
yes, that happens. So in the wild, these guys can actually spit about 3.5 feet out of the surface of the water. Now, again, they are a pretty shy species of fish. Most of the time, we only get them to spit once, maybe twice, especially with these little guys over here being the bully. So I think we got the one that we're gonna get. But again, just a really, really amazing type of fish.
It was interesting that there was six, eight of them, but there was one that looked
only
like...
one that was really brave, right?
Yeah.
So they'll all come up, but again, it really takes a lot for them to actually. Oh, this guy's gonna do it.
Okay, here comes one.
He'll do it.
Oh, you did.
That was fantastic.
You said three.
Good job.
That was 6 feet.
That was 6 feet.
I was counting.
Tom, I actually believe you and your measurement, so that's fine. Right over here, we have what's called the freshwater stingray. These guys are just absolutely cool. All different sorts of colors and patterns, sizes. So we got some really large ones, some smaller ones. Again,
and it's the pattern, stingray. It's a white, but it has like eyes on it, like a mask on it.
Yeah.
And it's about 6-8 inches diameter with about a 6-inch tail. But then you have one that contrasts, that's a black background. And it's larger. It's 12 to 14 inches, and then another one is more brown. That was white on black, and this one is brown on brown. Almost.
Their patterns
brown on
brown, are yeah. very
brown
unique.
On yes, all definitely all unique. Not a single one of these freshwater rays would ever look the same.
No, not at all.
So there's 2, 4.
That's amazing.
And there's some down here hiding away. So yep. There's got to be at least 8.
And if you take a little step back, you can see them a little better. Yeah, it's cool, right?
They just, their edges just kind of ripple.
Yeah,
and that's
along
how they
the bottom.
Move.
It's really awesome. And right over here, Tom, you got, they're out on display for you. They aren't normally.
Today's the day.
Today is the day. These guys are the axolotls. The kids, I'll tell you, if they don't love cappies, they love axolotls.
Oh.
The kids go crazy over these guys. It's basically like a salamander or something like that that lives just primarily in the water. Basically like a water lizard. You'll see they got their gills right here on the outside.
It's on the outside. It's like three fingers sticking out their gills.
Yep, and when they breathe, you can see them flap. They have really, really slow breath.
They kind of flex.
Yes.
And they're about, these are a good 12 inches long.
Yeah, I'd say they're about a foot. This tank is still pretty new, so we're still establishing this tank, but these guys, super happy. They're doing really, really well. A cool thing about an axolotl is they can grow back any part of any one of their limbs.
I have read that.
So if they didn't, let's say he bit his foot off, his foot would just grow back.
Wow.
Not a single
That's convenient.
Yeah, right? It is pretty convenient.
And this one, at least, I don't know if it's the lighting, but he looks kind of orange. The other one is more albino.
Yeah, no, that's a, you'll see here now. So this one is actually really special. This one's called a hypomelanistic. It's one of the most rare axolotls that you can get. So that's kind of why he's got that lighter color in the flex, like the flex of the gold or silver on him. And then this guy is a
true albino.
And again, part fresh, part salt.
So these guys technically are brackish, but we actually just keep them in fresh water.
Wow, it's fascinating that you could just find these in fresh water. I don't get that.
Yeah, fresh water.
So this is more in the warm climate. It's not up here.
They actually really, really cold.
Really?
They love it cold. So you find them typically way, way down at the bottom. Again, the sand, the rocks, the sticks. You can actually, if you want, you can stick your finger here. We have a chiller on this water because that's how cold it has to stay.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
Yeah, it has to stay. We keep it right around 60 for them.
Okay.
Okay, that's very nice.
And then right here, just so you guys know, these tanks here are very special to us. These are the first tanks to ever be inside of Legacy at all. So before we even started the renovation of this place, we rolled in these two really, really big, we call them the mirror tanks. And this is a salt water.
And it's interesting, this one, I can't tell exactly, but it looks like it's about 18 inches wide.
Yep.
And we are probably 18 feet long.
It's about 1,500 gallons.
1,500 gallons.
In each, so.
And so I think the advantage of this is that the fish can't get away from you. They're always on exhibit.
They're always on exhibit, yes. And I do love this tank with the coral and things like that. You really, it's a tank that you just have to like keep staring at because you never know like what's gonna just come out of the other side of the coral, right?
Okay.
So, and again, these fish in here are what we would call that like semi-aggressive, right? So they have a little bit of different personality where they come out, they want to move around, they want to be seen.
And then they disappear.
But then they disappear because they're still like just skittish enough that they still want to hide. So a lot of movement in this tank.
So once again, so back to my veterinarian side about if there's somebody that's sick, I mean, how often would you see them just literally belly up on the top of the water?
Here we almost never ever see it.
Really?
You know, we take a lot of pride in every day our staff comes over and lays eyes on every single one of these fish.
Oh my.
I will say, you know, in the beginning getting the tanks established, for a long time we only had one or two fish in all of these tanks, even these big tanks, just to make sure they were ready to go before we put the fish in. So we are at the point now where we have little to no problems at all.
Now, do you ever have to replace the coral or anything like that?
So in all of these tanks here that we're looking at, saltwater, these are, it's all fake coral. Because the salt
will
absolutely eat away at stuff. So this coral, we won't really ever have to replace unless something happens, right? Like we've had, while doing work in here, you know, we've had things be dropped in here, which in return would break a piece off of the coral or something like that. But we won't have to ever like take this coral out and replace it with a new piece unless we wanted to do it for our own looks.
So I did a quick census and there's like, in this 1,500 gallons, there's 16 large fish, but then there's the smaller ones that are living inside the coral.
Yeah, so even if you come and take a look right here, right? Take a look in that coral, you'll see that little guy in there. Again, you really just never know like what you're gonna see, and that's one of the joy of fish is you have to really just be patient. Because a lot of times you'll miss the beauty of it.
If you stand still, you'll see it.
Yes.
Well, and again, just amazing how things are set up accordingly.
Yes.
Now, I always talk about like enrichment as we talk about the animals or the mammals and the reptiles for enrichment. What do you do for fish for enrichment?
So I'll tell you, and some of your listeners might get a little mad at this, but the fish are one of the easiest things to give enrichment because you can just do it in such different ways. Instead of just dropping their food in the one side that we normally feed it, For fish, you could literally just feed somewhere different than when you normally do, and that is enough brain stimulation for them to be like, whoa, wait a minute, what's going on? Or if we feed them treats and things like that, we do our best to drop it so they have to like dig in the corals and really move stuff around or move the sand around and things like that. So.
And then your filtering system is constantly going to filter out all of like their waste and stuff like that.
Hopefully at some point, I don't know what our time is looking like, but maybe I'll get to take you at least in back of house one, just for you guys to be able to see some of the support systems that we have inside of this place.
Oh, wow.
It's interesting, we're moving to another, that was the mirror tank. Now there's two columns and then there's a half column that goes over the head, so we're immersed in this.
Yes, again.
That's not a cowfish.
No, that's not a cowfish, okay. But we do have cowfish. I will show you those. Again, another one of my favorite tanks with the bridge, just absolutely different, beautiful species of snake in there, and of course, it being salt water. So, here's another one of my favorites. If you guys,
this is a triangle tank.
Triangle tank. Two different species of fish in here. So we have the little garden eels, which hide themselves.
Oh, these are my favorite. Yes. The ones that come out of the sea.
They do. Yeah, they're actually 14 inches long.
Oh yeah, there they are. They're like a little snake.
Yes. And then in the back we have the mandarin fish there.
And the mandarin is the color. It has red on a turquoise background.
And there's some snails as well.
And some snails. Yep. Now we're gonna move right along over here on this side. So right here, Tom, do you know what these are? Come on, Tom, you got this.
Every time you do that, I freeze, you know? I've seen them, they're wonderful fish. I give up.
Lionfish. Absolutely awesome. It is a poisonous species of fish. So on the top there, on the top of each one of their fins, they have a little barb there.
Really?
That, again, not something you really want to mess with.
But 6 inches long, but their fins or their side fins are almost another 4 inches on either side. They're almost bigger than they really are.
Yes, and again, just absolutely beautiful. The thing that I love about these guys is, although they all look the same, they really are all different, if that makes sense, right? So they might look the same, but again, very, very different. So.
And you have six in this, and it's interesting, is this tank slants away from you. So it's narrow at the top and quite a bit wider at the base.
Yes, and then coming over here, we have just, I mean, this is my absolute favorite. We could not be in an aquarium, of course, without the stingray.
Right.
And these guys are super awesome. As you can tell, they're really friendly. They're just coming up right now just to get a little pet. Again, one of my favorite tanks. We actually offer snorkeling inside of this tank.
Oh, really?
So you can come in and swim with these guys.
Can I touch these?
Yeah, you can. You can reach right up and give them a little pet.
And the plastic is, you won't bite me, huh?
No.
Oh, he's a hard head.
Hard head, yes. These guys actually don't have teeth.
No, that's my type of fish.
Yeah, so there's no biting happening.
But their wings are really soft.
Yes, they are. So I'll show you guys one of the really cool things that we get to do with the guest here is we actually let the guest feed. So I'll show you, if you look right here, I'll put this under the water.
That's about 6 inches down. And the mouth is underneath.
Yeah,
what
really
you think
cool.
is the mouth is not the mouth.
Exactly. So yeah, you want to try it, Tom? You can go ahead and feed
them. Oh boy, this is scary.
Yep.
Okay, be good to me, guys.
Tom got startled there.
I got scared.
Again, super awesome.
Try it again.
Super
try it
awesome.
Again, Tom.
All right, Tom.
I have to do it twice?
You got one more. You got it, Tom. Oh, they're going to splash you now. They're getting crazy.
Tom.
Good job.
I let go of it.
Super awesome.
But they're kind of medium size. I'm sure they grow longer than that.
These are called cow nose stingray. And then we do have one little puffer fish that lives somewhere in here with these guys named LeBron. But he hides a lot until he knows it's time for food.
They're always happy. Did you ever notice that?
The puffers always.
No, these guys.
Oh, the stingrays?
Guys.
Yes.
Because look at their smiles on their faces
look
all
at
the
them.
Time.
And they're always just swimming so gracefully.
I know.
It's really, really awesome.
And their tails are 16 to 24.
Yes,
or
a lot of people think that's the stinger. That is not the barb at all. That little part that's coming out from the base of their tail, that's the actual barb part, right? So that's the part that can sting you. This long thing is not at all.
Okay.
These guys do recognize faces. They know me well. They know that I typically come bearing food. So that's why if you see them coming up, they're just really happy.
I'm sure you sing to them too.
I do. I sit here almost every day.
Okay. I would be.
Yes.
All right. That's because I have no lights. So.
Right.
All right. Very good.
All right. And then right over here, we have saltwater predator. So remember that freshwater predator tank that I showed you guys with the really big catfish and really aggressive
thing? These guys are a lot smaller.
Same thing, but I'll tell you, man, just as aggressive. This is not a tank that you want to stick your hands in. You guys,
I'm glad you told me.
Yeah, don't do it, Tom. Don't do it. Even in the freshwater predator, I would stick my hands in there because I know I'd be quicker. But these fish are really, really fast, really powerful bite.
But they're smaller.
Parrotfish, beautiful fish. We've got a big grouper that lives in there. You guys, actually, you'll get the chance to see them, which most people don't. Look in the coral.
Oh, yep, I see him.
Yeah, a nice big grouper.
He's just watching and waiting.
Yeah, he is the bully.
The fake coral. And these guys are 4, 5, 6 inches long.
Yes.
Beautiful fish.
Absolutely beautiful. And right behind us, we have another one of my favorites.
Yes.
The lobsters.
These are the kings?
Yes,
no?
King lobsters, yes.
And they're running around this round tank that's about 7 feet in diameter.
Yep, this is the cylinder, the big cylinder tank. Of course, just absolutely beautiful. It is just a lobster,
but it is still
beautiful, you know? Just to be able to see them right at your eye level walking around as they would in the wild. It's awesome.
What do they eat?
So these guys, we feed fish, we feed shrimp, all sorts of things. Honestly, it's a lobster, so he will voluntarily eat whatever you happily drop in there.
So his body is about 12 to 14 inches, and he's these long antennas, and all the legs. How many legs do they have? It's many. 2, 4. They may have 12. I don't know.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, I lost count. I'm sorry.
I think technically like 8 legs, but then maybe 4 arms. Something weird. 2 long antennas.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Now you have king lobsters, you have king crabs.
Yes. And I am the king.
King Jay.
Again, this is the fake reef.
Oh my goodness.
This guy is absolutely awesome, right?
That's what he's doing
right now is he's doing his best to get himself into his little hide.
Is this like an eel?
Yes, it is an eel. Now, don't let him fool you. He has 3 different ways that he can go in there, but he loves to always go in the hardest way possible. Oh, there you go.
He's gone completely around, then he came around the top.
But he's going to come back out. Yeah, there you go.
Right
now he's hiding. He's thinking that we can't see him. And in this tank, there's a lot of really cool things. These yellow fish with the stripes, those are called pilot fish, a really cool schooling fish. This big guy here, that's called a trigger fish.
Is that related to the ones we saw earlier?
No.
Well, those are archer fish.
Archer fish, yes, a little different. We did see a trigger fish earlier, but I didn't point them out to you. Another parrot fish. So again, just really, really awesome.
This is more like your Finding Nemo tank.
Oh, we haven't got there yet.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Nemo.
Oh, that's your Finding Nemo tank.
So many Nemos, right?
I know, right?
Again, really, really awesome. These guys are a little more skittish, so especially with your flash, they're like, oh my gosh, what's happening? Just a little bit more aware of what's going on.
These little black and white ones are adorable.
Yes, so
those
cute, right?
Those were never in the movie.
They were not in the movie, but they exist.
They are adorable.
So these guys you would never find in the wild. That has to happen in captivity.
Oh, okay.
But still really, really cool.
They're calico, Tom.
Yes,
calico.
That's right. Mainly white with a good splotches of black and highlights.
Little orange.
And the orange tends to be around the mouth.
Yes, which is honestly really cool. Just very, very
and this is another
unique.
This is another round tank.
Yes.
Fascinating.
So
and beautiful.
Remember at the beginning I told you guys that a situation might happen, you know, where the fish are really interested in you. Tom, do me a favor and just stick your hand in this tank here.
Okay.
Stick your hand in and just hold it there. Come on, Tom, you got it.
He licked me or something.
Hold it there. Tom, you can do it. Hold it in there. So these guys are called Gararufa fish.
Oh, they're not piranhas?
Not piranhas.
Oh, no.
And they're actually eating your dead skin.
Oh,
so you see.
That's okay?
Yeah, that's okay. It's like a pedicure.
Oh, yes.
A manicure.
I know where I'm coming when I have the day off.
Exactly. And that's actually what we do here. We do let people sit here. They put their hands in here.
Seriously?
That's amazing. They get a little mani-pedi from the fish.
If I don't do that, okay, so I will take one of that. I'm going to show that you're all... Tom is getting a manicure
right now.
All right.
What does it feel like, Tom?
It
doesn't hurt, right?
It's just a little tickly.
Yep. All right. So we got about 3 tanks left that I really want to show you guys.
You have so much space in, like, so much space.
Oh, yeah.
Like, for activities. Amazing.
Yes. Yeah, we're actually doing a really big spring break camp here where I'm going to have 40 kids running around here by myself. So I'm going to be grateful.
Are you saying?
I'm not. I don't know what I was thinking when I did that. But, yeah, a lot of space to do all sorts
of things.
That's
almost like on the anniversary of your first year.
Yes. Yep, it will be. This is the puffer tank. So right here we got a dog face puffer here in the back, porcupine puffer. Just absolutely beautiful.
Dog face is very yellow.
Yes, his name's Snoop Dogg. And then that one's Biggie. Just really, really cool tank. We got a lot of stuff going on in here. There's a cow fish or two somewhere in here. Some more parent fish.
What causes them to puff?
Stress, if they're threatened, and dominance. And mating sometimes.
Have you seen it?
No. A lot of times once they puff, typically don't live after
that. Oh, so, seriously?
Yeah, a lot of the species of puffer fish, once they puff, it's kind of like over for them. So again, it's not really something that you want to see.
Okay.
Although Biggie looks like he's puffed all the time, but he's just that big.
He is definitely 6 inches in diameter.
Yeah.
He's just round.
Yes, he is a round. That's like a small bowling ball right there.
Yeah.
Right here, these tanks. This holds a cool fish called a look-down fish.
Okay.
So this tank is very, very high. That's why it's about 10 and a half, 11 feet. And these fish are always looking down.
These are the Nemo ones.
These are the Nemo ones.
Yes.
And these are the ones that are as flat as a pancake.
Oh, wow.
You can tell these guys are just really, really skinny, but absolutely beautiful. These fins here are actually, very, very skittish fish. These guys here, the fins, will actually grow about a foot and a half once they reach maturity.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, this tank, they'll have a lot of things just flowing.
I think it's really cool that you call their look down fish and you have them looking down at us.
At us, yeah, it's cool, right?
That's
and this and it's this one's a oblong tank. It's almost like a watering trough for cattle or stuff.
How many tanks do you have here? Like, what would you say? Like, there's probably like a good 40.
Probably I'd say about 40 or so.
Okay.
So in here we have the touch tank. We have a couple different things that you actually can touch and
is
hold.
This a horseshoe?
Different. This is a horseshoe crab here. We have
I've seen
males,
the little bitty ones.
Females. We have all sorts of different snails in here, crabs, things like that, urchins. Again, one of the kids' favorite places to be, because you know you just get to literally touch whatever you can find in here.
Okay, this is in a shell.
Yep, this is one of the snails in the shell right
kinda
now.
Like a conch shell.
He's got a trap door in there, so we can't see him. But again, just really, really awesome.
That's where his foot comes.
Yeah, you can see he's thinking about it.
Yep.
He's thinking about coming out now. And again, it's really cool just to be able to give the kids these opportunities. Really to be able to see these things. So then when they go out in the wild, you never know, a kid might have seen this and picked it up and chucked it or stepped on it or something. And now that we've given this opportunity to
he'll
touch
respect
them,
it.
Now they might respect it a little bit more.
And you had him hold, he was holding on the side of the tank.
Exactly.
He retracted it in about an inch or so.
Yep, and then he closed his door, as we call it.
Now I noticed the educator here.
Yes.
Had the horseshoe crab in her hand.
Yes.
And gently laid it all the way down towards the bottom.
Yes.
So why not just put it underneath the water and let it go? What happened?
So honestly, nothing necessarily would be too bad if we did that. But the thing to keep in mind is since we are a public aquarium, that horseshoe crab is coming out multiple times a day. So we want to make it going back into its habitat, especially because they're bottom dwellers, as easy on them as possible, right? So that's really just part of the training that goes in when you're releasing these guys, release them back in easily. That is also another reason why we made our touch tank so deep, right? Because if for whatever reason—
people would be reaching all the time.
Right, and for whatever reason, if one of the workers has to walk away, a kid can reach their hand in here, but they aren't gonna make it very far, you know?
Right.
The kid would have to like basically be all the way in in order to reach the bottom. So again, just things that we've looked at other aquariums and taken into consideration when building our own.
Okay. What about the mating situation? How do you get more horseshoe crabs?
So these guys, we haven't been successful to mate them in captivity, and not that many people are. They do breed constantly, all the time. Yes, they are literally mating right now as we speak. But again, no baby horseshoe crabs. Again, I think it's one of those things where in the wild, there's still parameters and things that we just can't emulate, obviously, or simulate in captivity. Now this here, one of my absolute favorite tanks. This is the super tank.
Big round.
And right here, oh, Marty's putting on a show for you guys
now. Yeah.
That is our zebra shark there. Marty, who is super awesome. This is our black tip reef shark. That one is Marky Z.
And then we have,
yes, we have two more of them. So we have three black tip reef sharks. And then we have the one zebra shark. And then we have a bunch of pilchards in here. We used to have about 1,000 of those little silver sides. Now we're down to about 50.
What happened to the other?
The sharks really enjoyed them.
Oh, okay. I was wondering.
Enrichment for the sharks.
That's good. It wasn't,
we didn't put them necessarily in there for the
enrichment. For that reason. They just happened to be hungry.
Yes, yes. They love to eat. And it's typically only the black tip. Marty here, I love Marty, the zebra shark, but it's one of those animals that I would call like a little smooth brain, if you will. Not really a whole lot going on just to swim. Is really the only thing that is going through her brain. But again, absolutely beautiful. One of my favorite tanks. I want to take you guys into one place though before we end.
I need to say that Marty is about four and a half feet long, and the black tips are about 3.
So we won't go in, but I'm going to open up the door for you just to see.
This filtration.
This, for example, is just one of the filtration rooms. Just one of
this is just one room.
This is just one room. So we have 8 rooms that are set up like this. And this system here is only for the shark tank. Just to keep in mind of how big and how large like it actually is for our stuff that is running. So this is the life support system, the backup system. We've got the sand filter. It's everything we need to keep that tank looking crystal clear.
And who do you have to monitor this?
So we have a whole aquatics team. Luckily, the guy that builds all these is also one of our founders.
Oh, wow.
So super beneficial for us. So if anything breaks, we're just calling our boss to come and fix it. We don't have to outsource someone somewhere else.
So that filter tank is about 5 feet deep and about 4 feet wide.
Yes.
And about 18 feet long.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
And that's just for this.
Just for the shark tank.
Shark tank, which is all of 24 feet in diameter.
Yeah.
Are you planning on putting anything more in there?
So the problem with putting more in is those black tip reef sharks get about 6.5 feet. Those are babies right now, not even a year old. So we really want this tank to establish itself before we start to add more. We're talking about maybe adding a couple smaller sharks, a couple smaller stingray.
Okay.
But also keeping in mind, there's a couple of tanks that are housing things right now that we're growing up to eventually live in here. You know, we got a couple big eels that will eventually go in here. A couple other sharks that are just babies right now living in the smaller tanks. That in the next year or two, this place will look completely different.
Wow.
Jay, have you swum in there?
So I got in here before the sharks were in there.
Oh.
And I actually was very nervous because it is taller than 6 feet, so it's deeper than what I could stand in. But the salt water just makes you float. So again, haven't been in there since the sharks will be in there. I would go in there though, I'm not nervous. And the black tip reef sharks are more like elusive anyway. They really are kind of like, don't look at me and I won't look at you. but this is my next tank that I would love to get in.
Well, that's awesome.
Yes.
Well,
I don't know what to say. I don't want this to end, but I know that we have to.
It's been another experience. All three experiences, the reptiles, the mammals, and here in the aquatics. This is Legacy and Reptarium, and that's on
Van Dyke
Road at M50, 1 mile north of M59. This is in Utica, Michigan, with Dr. Hannah, Edie Hannah, and this is Tom Majeur for Strong Tower Radio.
Jay, thank you
so much.
Can't thank you enough for your knowledge.
You
are so gifted.
Thank you. We had a great time.
We did.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
God bless. Until next time.
God bless.
Take care.
All right. Bye.
Bye.